You are now listening to Voices of the West Side with your host, John Easter.
Good morning and welcome to Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. I'm John Easter. And welcome to the show. You know, it is Friday. We are through another week, about ready to get to the short week here before the Thanksgiving holiday. And I'm sure everyone is looking forward to that. Of course, we remember that there are a lot of people out there at this time of year who don't have things. And we want to keep them all in our thoughts and everything as we try to sit down with our families here in the next week and enjoy some food and fun. It's good to remember those who are a little bit less fortunate. So we do that as well. But good morning and welcome to Voices of the West Side. We have great guests this morning. We'll get to him here in just one second. But right now, as always, we like to look at the thing on the wall that actually technically doesn't have anything on it at the moment, but I have it on my phone. It is... Yeah, the big board, I keep forgetting to update the big board every week. So anyway, we get to Friday and it's like, oh yeah, I forgot to put something on there. But anyway, we've got Ben Davis basketball tomorrow. The Lady Giants travel over to the east side to play Warren Central. Of course, they got a big win this week over number 4 Plainfield. They will be over at Warren. That is a 1:30 start for varsity, noon for JV, and Tyler Stout is going to be calling that game tomorrow. So tune in here on Giant 90.9. If you're listening on Sunday, that makes no sense because the game would have been the day before. So that is, once again, Saturday at 1:30. And then, of course, tonight here at Ben Davis High School, we have Elf Junior. This is the staff musical, so it's not your student performers tonight. The actors are the teachers, and it will be the first ever one, starting a new tradition. And it'll play tonight at 7 p.m. and then on Saturday at 2 p.m. So get out and see those teachers perform as this new tradition begins. And kind of a departure here because we don't usually do this sort of thing during the big board, but we've had three unfortunate passings here in the last week, and I think it's important that we acknowledge these three people. We received some sad news that the longtime Wayne Township board member, Mr. Mike Nance, passed away earlier this month. Mr. Nance was a huge supporter of WBDG and student media here at Ben Davis, along with everything at Area 31. He was a longtime business owner, and he served on the board for 31 years, which ended at his passing. So he served up until the day he passed. Through his pain and his struggles with his health, and after the loss of his beloved wife, Roberta, he continued to give his best to Wayne Township, and we will certainly miss him. His funeral visitation is today at the Grand Hall at Westlake Gardens from 3 to 8 p.m., and then tomorrow he will have more viewing, 10 a.m. to noon at Flannery Buchanan and Speedway with the service at noon. We remember Mr. Mike Nance. Also, longtime Ben Davis track and cross-country coach Bill Wilhelm passed away at the age of 79, and if you followed BD Distance and were track for a while, you know what a great man Bill was. So many credit him for their love of running and learned so much about life from him. And if you go through and just read some of the comments on his obituary, it will tell you that he made an impact. His celebration of life is to be held on Saturday, December 20th. At 9001 North Fordham Street. That's the College Park Clubhouse from 2 to 7 p.m. So we are thinking about all of you who knew these individuals, and we are keeping you in our thoughts and our prayers, and that will finish up. So, you know, kind of make a transition out of that. It's always tough to do, but life does continue, and we'll continue the show as well, thinking about those three individuals. So our guest here this morning is a Ben Davis graduate and is a member of the City County Council, District Number 17. And I know that he's just passed the 10-year anniversary of his election to the council. I know because I ran in the same election, and it's been 10 years ago that we sort of ran together on the City County Council ticket. So it's been 10 years for Counselor Jared Evans. Welcome to the program, Jared. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. And thank you for recognizing Mike Nance. You know, when I was in school, he was a school board member, and I remember him fondly, as I do many of those school board members. They were always active and engaged in all of our schools and times. I think he was a school board member from the time I was in elementary school all the way to high school.
Yeah, he joined the board in 1994, which is just remarkable. And you know, like I said, a longtime business owner here in Wayne Township, had the UPS store, and just a great man. And I could tell you some stories about where he went to bat for us here at WBDG over the years. And in fact, you can go look at his obituary, and in there, any memorial contributions for him will go through the Wayne Township Education Foundation to Area 31, which I think really says a lot about
exactly
him and what he would have wanted. So we certainly think a lot about him. But, you know, as we begin here our conversation, 10 years since you've been elected, how hard is that to believe for you, first of all, how time passes, because it just seems kind of like yesterday?
Well, it's one of those things, you know, when you got elected, I was kind of the young kid on the council. I think I was the second youngest, and now I'm experience-wise one of the senior members on the council.
Yeah, I was looking, I think as far as like continuous service, right, it's Maggie Lewis and Leroy Robinson that are ahead.
Maggie's been on since she was elected in 2007, and then you've got a class of three: President Bob Osley, Councilor Leroy Robinson, and Councilor Frank Muscari. All got elected in 11. And
okay,
then I got elected in 15, and you had Barth, who was there and out, and we share as many years on the council. I think, you know, it's going to be that next cycle that you'll see a lot of some of those older names probably come off. They've already indicated they're not going to run for re-election. So, but I think it serves well for our side of town.
Right.
When you kind of get up there at that level, you're taken a little bit more seriously, and you learn. You know, that first year on the council, that first term, it's so difficult. Just learning the processes and learning how to get things done. You know, we're going to talk about some of these projects, and all of these projects started in conception in that very first term.
Wow. They're coming to fruition.
Finally.
Now.
Finally.
Because it takes a while sometimes to kind of move everything into place that you need to get some of this stuff done.
It does. And, you know, we could probably talk for hours. I mean, you know, the city of Indianapolis is not funded appropriately. You know, we're one of those donor counties. People get back less in taxes than what they pay in. The state takes a lot of our road money and gives it to other communities. I like to tell people, if you've ever been to Royal Center, Indiana, if you drive up there, the roads are pretty smooth. The population's not there between here and there. So it's like, who's paying for those roads? Well, some of Indianapolis residents are helping to pay for those roads. It's just the way the formula is with the state. So we have to be creative sometimes in how we do it. And it's a struggle and it's a fight sometimes to get your projects on the priority list. You know, you're constantly trying to figure out how to wheel and deal and get things done, because the pot's just not big enough.
Well, and when you look at how roads are funded, and I didn't really understand this until I kind of was explained to me. So a four-lane road is the same as a two-lane. Is that correct?
One lane.
So like a one-lane road through a small town is given the same funding as a four-lane road in Marion County? How it works?
Yep. In the road formula, it is done that way. It's what we call center lane miles. So Indianapolis has over 8,000 lane miles. If you were to compare that to NDOT's lane miles, we essentially have 1/6 of what they have, yet we don't get 1/6 of the funding. If we got that funding, we'd be in great shape. So it's I'm trying to stay positive, because we're going to talk about some good things today, but it is one of those things, when you consistently hear from residents, it's frustrating to see our own city kind of fall into despair, if you will. And this didn't just start over a couple of years. This is a process that has unfolded over probably two decades of underfunding that has finally gotten to the point that the roads have deteriorated and you're not keeping up with them. We're going to have to, you know, we've got some challenging times ahead, I think, that we're going to have to be creative how we continue. We've increased funding. When I joined the council, the budget for roads was $50 million. And this past year, it was near $300 million.
Wow. So it's gone up quite a bit. Jared Evans, counselor for District 17 and the City County Council, is joining us here on Voices of the West Side this morning. And, you know, you in politics right now, you know, one of the reasons why I've kind of backed away from many things in politics is just because it's not as fun as it used to be. And I know you said you want to be positive here. I've got a positive spin on this. You see kind of the battle that's going on with redistricting right now at the State House, and, you know, will they redistrict? Won't they? Right now it looks like they won't, with the Senate, coming back, I think, in December. But you look at those political battles, and then you kind of look at the City County Council, which there are political battles that are fought on there. But a lot of the things that you deal with, they don't have a party tag attached to them.
Yeah, it's not blue and red.
Right. So, you know, there's no, I think it was Zach Adamson that used to say, former counselor Zach Adamson that used to say, there's no Republican or Democrat potholes.
Pothole, yeah.
You know, there's no Republican or Democrat forgets to pick up your trash. So a lot of the things that you deal with are kind of based on non-political things. I mean, people want their, like we just talked about, people want their potholes filled, people want their trash picked up. These are all things that city government kind of has to do, and that's kind of your realm. Am I correct on saying, I mean, these are issues that your office, the City County Council, can help with? I was just watching this morning on Channel 4 News. They were talking about the change in the way the streets will be plowed. That came from you guys.
Yeah, actually, that was my proposal back in
March. Came from you.
back in March, we heard from residents. It was pretty clear. It was frustrating. And that was one of those things. They had changed the policy, and we really weren't made aware. It was kind of just pushed in there, and they praised it as we're doing connector streets. Well, in that process, residential streets got removed. So this is actually even better, because now what I was really worried about were old, and you probably know this from your time living out here in the township, a lot of these neighborhoods used to have HOAs, and mm-hmm. they would pay for those. Well, the HOAs are defunct, or they let them go. Associations no longer exist. So the city was operating under this guise that, hey, you still got to pay to have your roads snow removed. And so we were able to get that in there. And so that's it's not going to be done the way it would have been done, but it's like what we've proposed is we're still going to come in and we're going to do one pass by, one lane. So it may not be big enough for two cars to get through, but it's going to be enough for someone to get out, and you have, you know, like an emergency situation, or you want to get to the grocery store, just get to work.
That'll be helpful. I know when we had this past year, we had the heavy snow mm-hmm. in my neighborhood, sat for quite a while.
And yeah.
Once you kind of get it down to the snow, you're fine. But then if it just sits and then it gets cold, then it becomes icy, and then you're sliding around, you know, anywhere you go. So I think, and then people, of course, aren't supposed to park on the curb, but they do, and it that's a whole different story. But when you talk about things like that, those are the little things that make living in a city a little better.
It's a quality of life issue. Right. Yep. And I think that's where I'm actually pretty strong. I think most people who know me know that you don't hear a whole lot about Republican or Democrat come out of my mouth. You know, I'm really much common sense. What are we hearing from the people on the ground, and how do you address that? It's unfortunate that society has gotten to the point where people have just sort of all gotten in these camps. It's just not how you get things done, and it's absolutely wrong. I mean, I'm very blunt about it. It's just the wrong process. It's the wrong way to do things. We've demonized moderates. We've demonized compromise. Everybody comes from, you know, different situations, different backgrounds, and you've got to work together. You know, I've always said on the council, a couple of my buddies were always the Republicans, and we had a lot of disagreements at times over things, but I can respect someone who truly believes this is the way they want to go about it versus somebody who wants to do something for political reasons or stardom or whatever that reason would be. There needs to be a sense of authenticity in what you're doing. in any fashion in politics. And that's what I think has been lost over time.
Yeah.
You know, but we've been fortunate, I will say, I think on the West Side to, you know, I when I'm talking about some of these projects, you know, the learning curve, I had to lean in on then State Representative Carly Macer, you know, to push her. And, you know, she helped me out on some of these things, as we'll talk about these here in a little bit.
Well, and, you know, I think, too, with Carly, with now Renee Pack in their position, their district is a lot like yours. This is not a, you know, dark blue district,
right.
Where we sit. Well, actually, your district has changed just a little bit. You're more south now of, I mean, I know part of it touches 10th Street, and then, but mostly you're now
we moved
south.
A little, we moved a little north, and we went to the east.
Right.
So I cover Wayne Township now. They took me out of Decatur Township and took me to Belmont. So I've got George Washington High School in that area. And in some ways, things got a little more complicated because
right.
the conditions over there are just as bad, you know, as any area. I think on the residential street component alone, I was just talking to Chairwoman Kristen Jones about this yesterday. My guess is we have a need just for District 17 in residential streets of around $19 million.
Like yeah.
they're absolutely already in condition that they need to be repaved.
Right. And that doesn't get done just like, I need 19 million. Oh, here you go, Jared. Here's your 19 million. It doesn't quite work that easily. So you have to fight for that.
When we joined the council, there wasn't even a dedicated fund for residential streets. There wasn't even a fund for it. We would just sort of determine every year how much we were going to spend on residential streets. In part, thanks to the commission that I did in 2018, we uncovered that the city had not adjusted its road formula to incorporate the fire departments that had joined, because the road formula is very complicated. At the time, it took into account the population based on the fire districts. So we hadn't incorporated those old townships that had merged with IFD. So when we did that, we got a whole new pot of money. And then State Senator Aaron Freeman went and said, hey, we're just going to, because you got Pike, Wayne, and Decatur that have their own fire departments that were not being calculated into the formula. So he went in and said, we're just going to base it on the population of the city. And that generated additional revenue for the city. And what he did in that legislation, which I agree with him on, was he determined that you've got to use that on residential streets and you got to match it to get it. So it results in about $16 to $18 million a year that is dedicated to residential streets. Now, in the last couple of years, you've seen the council do an additional $25 million, I think, for about 3 years in a row. So we've done about $75 million. We're just still not there. We need even more.
Yeah. And Senator Freeman is a Republican. So there you go. That's an example of working together to get things done. So when you look at some of those projects, I know you've referred to them a couple of times. One of the things earlier this year we had on the show was the B&O Trail. That's been pretty awesome. I know that people are enjoying that now, and it's open here in Wayne Township. That's just one thing, but I know that there are some other things that are going to change to kind of enhance people getting there to the B&O Trail with Girls School Road and some of the other things. So what are some of those projects that are on the docket?
Man, you know, the B&O Trail is just absolutely beautiful, by the way. I've walked that from Raceway Road. The first time I did it was from Raceway to Main Street Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided, I got a puppy. I got a Samoyed puppy. So I was like, well, we're going to go a little step further. And we went all the way downtown. And I'm thinking, I'm going to wear him out. Well, I was wore out. I didn't wear him out at all. He still kept wanting to run around.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go.
But it is really something else. It's so beautiful. We have one of the better portions of that B&O Trail. I've walked it into Brownsburg, and it's beautiful. It's scenic there, but walking through our neighborhoods, the memories that were coming back from when I was in school, you know, when I was a kid, it was a really cool thing. But we are still Indy Gateway in partnership has really spearheaded the effort to do an area where people can go and park, and we're you can already do it at Chapel Rock, and we're going to be adding some additional amenities there for folks. You know, some benches, some water fountains, and I think a place to repair bikes and things of that nature. So that's going to be a part of that. So, but you mentioned Girls School Road. I know a lot of people have been talking about that for some time, and I've tried to get updates. It changes so often. It's been a fluid project. This was a project that, you know, really was born out of a survey that we did at Indy Gateway, I believe, in 2000. I'm a board member of Indy Gateway in 2018. And we asked the community for some direction on what really needed to get done. And the last one that, you know, we just kind of honed in on was that girls' school road. That was the number one thing. So I had already had plans to redo girls' school road in my part of the district. And they said, well, what do you think about going even further? Well, I grew up over in Chapel Hill. So I knew what it was like not to have a sidewalk, you know, going down girls' school road. And so when they brought it to my attention, I said, let's do it. You know, we've got to do what's right for the whole community, and I'm not just going to be district focused at the time. So we did the engineering study for a project from Perimeter Road, which is the most southern point of Girls School Road.
So right there by the airport.
Right by the airport, all the way to 21st Street. And that's a roughly $23 to $25 million project investment that we're going to have. That's going to, I think on the southern portion, we're going to begin on the southern portion, and this is going to begin in quarter one of next year. So the first phase is going to be from Perimeter Road to Rockville Road. The second phase will be from Rockville Road to 21st Street. And it's going to probably be over about a year and a half, 2 year period, you know, and usually it's those final touches in the second year. So most of it should be done in about a year and a half, starting in quarter one of 2026. So you're looking at the end of 27, early 28 for it to be complete. It's going to have, I cannot remember if it's an 8-foot or a 10-foot multi-use path on the west side. And that's really unique because that's going to connect to the B&O Trail all the way to the north. That's a major connection. We're going to have a connectivity now in one of the state's premier high schools in front of the high school. You know, it's always been odd to me that we live in this great city and yet we don't have connectivity. We don't have walkability. People can't move around. And that's good for health, you know, physical health, mental health, just to be able to, you know, job access, bus access, all of it, just to ride your bicycle. I used to go back and forth from Chapel Hill to Farley. So I'm really excited about it. It's going to be it's going to rehab the road. So what that means is it's going to be completely repaved. But what they're going to do is they're going along in sections where the foundation is in trouble. They're going to completely reconstruct it. And so that's going to be spot checking along the entire way. It will be two lanes with a middle lane. My understanding is the entire length of that road. So it's going to be a big project. It's going to include stormwater as well. So again, we're trying to capture that, the rainwater and things that collect on the street. We're going to try to get it off. We're going to try to keep it from going into neighborhoods and funnel it off into drainage areas.
Well, that'll be great because I know when you leave Ben Davis, and, you know, I live in Decatur Township, so I leave and go south, and right here in front of Ben Davis, it seems like it's always like the lunar surface.
Yeah.
Every, you know, it takes that first freeze or the first time that things get plowed and all the patches
come
out, and yep. it's and I understand why it happens, and they
it's still frustrating, though.
And they get to it really, really quickly, it seems like, on Girls School Road, but it's just from, and I grew up in Farley. I lived on Eleanor in Farley. So Girls School Road hasn't really changed. I think the intersection at Girls School and 10th was reconstructed. I think that might have been the Indy Works under Mayor Ballard. I think that entire intersection got reconstructed, but that pavement hasn't really lasted very well. And then really from Rockville down, I think they put maybe a turn lane in there in front of Crestwood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not Crestwood now, whatever it's become. But but really that has not been touched since I was a kid. 10th Street, same thing. So I remember when they widened 10th Street to four lanes, and I think it's the same pavement. And you know, you'll drive and it's like, oh, you start naming the potholes because they're where they are every year. And I'm not saying this to say anything bad about what the council does, but we, you know, so much of what we talked about has been road funding, and it's just really going to be nice to have a girls school road that not only is good for driving, but you mentioned the walkability. And that is a big thing that this city fights. And I know that there have been ordinances passed that are great, that anytime you put something in new, you have to put in a sidewalk. But, you know, if you, a good example, if you go down to Decatur, there's like a mini steel mill. I think, you know, right there at Kentucky, or I don't know if it's a steel mill, but it has to do with manufacturing. So it's right there at Kentucky Avenue and Lyndhurst. And there's this beautiful sidewalk in front of there. And then it just ends.
That's some sort of lab.
Yeah. But a beautiful sidewalk, but it just ends. And then on the other side of the street where they've kind of updated Park Fletcher, or moved Park Fletcher 2, there's a beautiful sidewalk in front of that, but it just ends. So it's, you know, the idea is, well, we'll build new things, we'll make people put in sidewalks, but then it's great right there for that strip, but then it just ends. So that it's nice to see some of these things getting connected.
Yeah,
finally. And the new park as well. There with what Indy Parks has done with Chapel Hill Park and the next to the church.
I was going to talk about parks. We've had significant investment. Most of the West Side parks, Chapel Hill, just outside the district. I did post about that a couple weeks ago because I, you know, used to live over there and excited to see it. It's a significant investment. Completely redoing the playground. I guess there were some topography issues over there as to where they were putting things. I know there were some concerns about the playground being closer to the road. There is supposed to be some sort of barrier that's going to be placed there. I don't have all the particulars on that one, but, you know, we're on the news this week announcing Krannert starting what I'll say is like a phase two renovation, but this one's focused on the exterior. You know, we're going to get new basketball courts, pickleball, brand new playground, new shelter. The trail is going to be paved with some extension. So overall, that's a little over $15 million that'll be invested in Krannert Park over the last 2 years. We just redid Christina Oaks Park. I don't know if you've been down West Washington Street. We actually, so, and this just is the power of community with that one. When I was running for office, they were having at that time a public meeting. Mary Anderson, if you remember her, she was, you know, just a powerhouse along West Washington Street. And she had this meeting with the city. I attended. And the residents wanted to close that street down in between those two. Christina Oaks was split into two. And by the way, that's the old Fleming Garden Elementary property.
Right.
So they shut that road down and, you know, connected the parks. It looks really beautiful. You know, it's a good investment. We also did this a little bit further to the east, but it's on the west side. Ross Clay Pool Park was just redone under then Councilor Kristen Jones. So we've had significant investment in our parks. I would articulate that I don't think it's enough. I'd love to see more. You know, in a perfect world, we're competing with communities to the west. And you're over in Decatur, and I often think about Decatur, and I've said this in MDC meetings before. Decatur's township's population is about similar to Plainfield's, and I think about the amenities they have compared to Decatur, and you know that's just not. That never sits well with me. That's not how we should treat our own citizens. You know, we can do better as a city. That's just the bottom line, in my opinion. But speaking of Lyndhurst, there is a project in the works there, too. It changed over time, the funding obviously being a big part of that. And this comes as a part of that creativity. So the federal government, through transportation, had a grant that we applied for. And we have received through Indigo, which it's about connectivity. So Lyndhurst from West Washington Street going north to, no, excuse me, from Morris Street, not West Washington Street, just a little bit south of West Washington Street, going north to 22nd Street, right outside Speedway, will get completely repaved and will have a sidewalk put in there as well. So that was about that, the connectivity there. That's a significant project. It's in design currently, so we don't have all the figures and the extent of all of the work, but the synopsis on that is to build out connectivity so people can get to transportation options. And that'll be really cool because we're redoing West Washington Street. That's the next project I'll talk about, and that's from Lyndhurst to Holt Road. So you kind of see some of these things starting to come together, but just to round out Girls School Road, you know, that multi-use path is really cool because it connects to the B&O to the west, to the north, but to the south, the future Vandalia Trail will be coming, and it will be coming along that perimeter road. And so, and the Vandalia Trail right now is currently already built out through Plainfield. So it's kind of follows the US 40, the old National Road Trail, and that's really significant. And I know people sometimes get frustrated when they hear us talk about trails and connectivity when they're, you know, going to get a tire fixed. But the reality is this: we have to be competitive as a city. When you look at where a lot of folks want to live and move to, that's what they want. They want to be near parks. They want to be near green space. They want connectivity. They want trails, even if they don't use them.
Right.
They understand the value of them.
Well, it makes your home worth more.
Well, yeah,
things around. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm really excited about that Grill School Road project. That's, like I said, it's going to commence in quarter one, $23 million to $25 million project. The Lyndhurst project's in design. That would not begin until looks like probably about 27. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, frustrating for a lot of folks when we put these things in. That's why we don't always, you know, promote them, because it's like, well, it's still 2-3 years down the road and people don't really want it. They want it right now. But we do have it in the works. And that's something that started a lot of years ago, too. At the time, I had them do an engineering study of Lyndhurst from Kentucky Avenue all the way to Rockville Road. And I wanted a sidewalk put there. And that was in part led because at the time there was a death on Lyndhurst just right off Kentucky Avenue. A bicyclist was hit at the time. I think back in maybe 2017, I had about 5 or 6 pedestrians in that year killed.
Mm-hmm.
Girl School Road was one of them. A lot of these things were born out of those incidents because it's ridiculous. Nobody should have to figure out how they're going to safely be able to get off a bus and walk to the Target Corporation or walk to Carrier and try to make a living and have to be worried about getting hit. You know, we want to be a world-class city, well, then we better step it up.
Yeah, and I know you talk about the streets and like Man Road and things like that. You're always trying to look at those major kind of, I think they would be considered a connector street, correct?
Man Road.
Yeah, those major streets where you've got old neighborhoods on both sides. It's like, how do you get creative then in putting in sidewalks and trails and things that are more modern amenities on these roads that were built, you know, 50, 60, well, 70 years ago?
It was the county, right?
Right.
It wasn't the city. I mean, most of them predated UniGov, and the counties just, they didn't have a need for sidewalks because homes are just kind of built intermittently here and there. And that is a part of the problem, right? I mean, that I'm glad you mentioned that, because that exactly is the problem from out here where we're at. The city did not just grow out naturally and authentically. If you go to the old city limits, guess what? They've got sidewalks everywhere.
Mm, yeah.
There's not a place that doesn't have them. And for those listening, the old city limits on the west side took it to Tibbs Road, Tibbs Avenue.
Avenue, yeah.
But mentioning Man Road, I think the city was tired of me by this point. But in 2022, going into 23, it was kind of my gift at the time, because I used to represent Decatur. I was able to get them get in the capital plan, Kentucky Avenue from Raymond Street to Man Road to be repaved, and Man Road from Kentucky Avenue to 465. I think those two projects are supposed to commence next year, as a matter mm-hmm. of fact.
So it's kind of like one of those things, you plant the seeds and then they come to the fruition later.
We really wanted sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the city was so tired of me at that point about sidewalks, they made it abundantly clear it wasn't going to happen. The funding just wasn't there. You know, I was getting creative. I was using TIFFs. I had a TIFF map, and I would look at it and think, well, does this connect to that TIFF? Because if it does, I'm going to, what's in that TIFF? Because I'm going to take some money out and redo the road. We had, you know, High School Road was one of them. So we've gotten some things moving, but I know.
Yeah, we're running out of time. I didn't even realize that. I didn't look at the clock.
Well, this has been fun. I enjoyed it. Do I have a minute?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, last thing, West Washington Street.
We can go as long as you want, but I know you're the busy one. So
it is a busy day today, actually. So West Washington Street, I'm so excited about that project. When I got elected, the first thing I did in 2026 was get the city to put in $1 million at the time for an engineering study on West Washington Street from Raceway Road all the way to the zoo. And we re-engineered that. And, you know, I wish I could speak more about it. Funny story, the city sort of realized, wow, wait a minute. We don't even have the deeds to this property.
Wow.
because it was, this was the old national road.
Right.
And it, from the federal government, they gave it to the state. And then the state gave it over to the city. And with it came no transactions of how much property they owned. So they had to go back to the original written language from the federal government that it was 80 feet from the center. And that's how
to we find out how much you had,
how much we had.
Yeah.
And that's how we determined it. But
the right away.
So this is, you know, there's a lot there. This is not the blue line. I want to be very specific that, that there's been pro blue line and anti blue line. This is not the blue line. The blue line ends at Holt Road.
Mm-hmm.
This project picks up from Holt Road going west to Lyndhurst. It's a $30 million project. The design is done. We're looking at doing a public meeting sometime early next year. In fact, I'm going to try to incorporate the Girls School Road project as a part of that meeting. We're looking at bidding it out later this year, so probably here at the end of November or in early December. Right now, construction is anticipated to begin in quarter two of 2026. So we're going to be looking at an April, May, June type date to begin that. So two major projects are looking to commence on the west side. And by the way, these are the two biggest wholly funded city projects that there are. There's no federal dollars in this. These are completely 100% our taxpayer dollars coming back to the west side. I do want to reiterate, though, that the start of the project is really dependent on Indigo's Blue Line project. Mm-hmm. So currently, CEG is doing a lot of utility work because our storm sewer system that we're going to be constructing, which they don't currently have, so we're, this is brand new that we're going to be doing, is going to flow into the Blue Line storm sewer system. And that's to the east. So they've got to get theirs completed first for us to begin construction on ours. So it's, you know, it's really exciting. I mean, we're going to have some massive projects happening over here. It's, I don't want anybody to take it as, we're, you know, I'm resting on my laurels. That's not the case at all. We, yeah, I'm already sort of thinking about other things. I'm trying to figure out how to get High School Road, Country Club Road, and just really residential streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have so many. Things there, but we talked about parks, we talked about Lyndhurst, we talked about Girls School Road, West Washington Street, gave you a preview on the Lyndhurst, or no, the Main Road and Kentucky Avenue. I do believe I've heard from residents over the time on
the bridge there.
Oh, yes, yeah, the bridge is open.
Yeah,
the bridge
is
open.
Good news.
You know, if I could say on that, that was really frustrating. When we found out about it, it was supposed to be closed from March to September.
This is the West Washington
over Little Eagle Creek,
just east of Tibbs.
Yes. Okay. No. Just west of
just
Tibbs.
Just
west of Tibbs.
But yep. Tibbs kind of jogs in that area too.
Right. It's literally just 50 yards west of Tibbs. It was just supposed to be a rehab. It's 109 years old, and when they got out there and they started working, sometime in about May. They figured out, like, it might have even been early June. So they had already started doing their work. They figured out, wow, this bridge is in way worse condition.
Mm.
They had accidentally hit something, I don't know all the language,
right,
with a piece of equipment, and it just fell over. And they're like, well, that's odd. That really shouldn't have happened. So they went a little further, and it kept happening. So they just said, we got to tear this thing down. It's a historic bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And when they told me that, you could just imagine my face when I'm looking at it, I'm saying, what is historic about this little bridge?
Right.
And it's just because it's the old national road. So every bridge along this way is historic. And that adds a series of steps that you were supposed to take. So this was a limestone bridge. And what they were expected to do was take all this crumbling limestone and put it off to the side and mark every piece so it could be put back on. It eventually got to the point where they're like, this is too heavy, intense. It's never going to work. So we bypassed that. I immediately had a meeting with Indigo and the city to see what can you coordinate right now. While the bridge is closed, Indigo, what do you need to get done? Get to it right now. You know, instead of having all these roads closed for the blue line after we open the bridge. So they did as much as they could on coordinating, and the city went ahead and did. People get frustrated because they think it was closed for about a year and a half, but what you don't see is the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
When we start a project, the design work's done. You know, by the time we close that road down, the design work's done. We've already submitted the environmentals. All that work is done. So in this case, we had to do it all from scratch, and we had to do it quickly.
Because you found out in the project that what you had planned wasn't going to work.
So design, environmental, and something else was all running parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And that took months. So there was no work being done out there, and people were just flipping mad. And I have family on both sides of this bridge. And like I joked around about it at the ribbon cutting. I said, Thanksgiving was a little uncomfortable. I mean, it really was. People were just like, oh, yeah, Jared, it took me an extra 15 minutes to get here, you know, because to do the bypass. But the other thing was there's like the arches. Well, those are contracted out and constructed in a whole different facility.
Mm-hmm.
And they do all the measurements and all this stuff. Well, all of these contractors have other work. And so they're not just going to, in this case, we got lucky. They actually did they jumped us over everybody and said, we'll get your arch done. And we did it. And if you've heard anything about the 30th Street Bridge and that delay, it's been closed for like 4 years.
Right.
It's because when they did the arch, they brought it out to put it out there. The measurements were off.
Oh.
It was just completely wasted. They couldn't use it.
So they had to go back and do
it. They had to go back and do the arch. And guess what? They had to get in line. So we used a different company who was kind to the city saying, we'll get your arch built and we're gonna do it right away. And so we really worked hard, and I know the public was angry, and I try to communicate those things as best I can, and this is the best way when you're on radio and talking about it. So I want them to know nobody was just sitting around. I mean, they really were trying to move. And I can tell you, Chairwoman Jones and I were having meetings with them, and some of those meetings were uncomfortable.
Mm.
You know, as a city councilor, I'm nothing more than a representative, a public servant to the people who live in this community, right? So there's times where I might have get a little more elevated just mm-hmm. because I need you to know how angry people are at, you know, the snow policy.
Right.
If you watch that meeting from March of earlier this year, that was an intense meeting, because when it's coming down to me, I'm going to make sure I transfer that over to them. Like, you need to know this is how mad people are at. So I'm excited. We got some really good things happening. I appreciate you letting me come on to tell the public, and we're going to keep working. And I want people to know that, you know, your local government, and for this district, I work for you, and every council and elected official should work for these people. So reach out to us, email, phone call, text, call the council office. I usually try to make sure I return all phone calls within 48 hours. Same thing with emails. We get inundated at times. It can be hard to get back right away, but most of the time I try to do it the day of.
Well, and I know you have a very active presence on Facebook as well. And I know you answer messages and things on Facebook. So you're as far as counselors go, you're very easy to get a hold of. So people definitely should take advantage of that when they have issues that come up.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, my goal is to figure out ways to get more funding for residential streets.
Well,
that's...
Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say that seems to be what I'm hearing the loudest right now from folks. And that's what frustrates me when I hear things about like the redistricting and things. There are so many serious things that need to get addressed, to get taken care of. We don't need more politics. We don't need more gerrymandering. We don't need something to be more Democrat or more Republican. We just need people to want to work to address real issues. And something about politics brings out, like, this is like the amateur Hollywood or something, where all these people want a little stardom, and they start showing up to run for office and do things, and they just want to, you know, I don't know. I could go on and on about this.
And I'll just say this, and I don't think this is particularly political position, but when you have a city like Indianapolis that drives a lot of the state economy, I mean,
absolutely,
it really does. Indianapolis, Fort Wayne drive a lot of what goes on. Evansville, you know, some of the other larger cities drive what goes on in this area. When you have that, it seems to me, and this is, again, this is just me talking, it seems like they should have a voice in Congress. That's all I'm saying. It shouldn't be represented by three different Congress people and, you know, who maybe or maybe don't represent the city. That's my feeling. Maybe that's an Indianapolis-centric feeling of things, but the city deserves a voice, and I think that if you dilute that, I don't think that's a good thing. That's all I'll say. That's just me talking. I don't know if that was too political.
You know, these are old numbers, so I'll preface it with they could be off, But several years ago, I looked into the state of Indiana and how much revenue the city of Indianapolis was giving the state of Indiana. So to put it in short context, there's 92 counties at the time, and this would have been like 2019, I believe. So the numbers could be off, several years old. At the time, 92 counties, there were 10 donor counties. 10. Indianapolis, by far the largest.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who was second, but it wasn't even close. Like, I mean, that's how much money taxpayers of Indianapolis are helping to fund the state of Indiana and other communities. There were 5 counties that broke even, roughly. The rest of them are what I would call, you know, welfare counties.
Mm-hmm.
They do not generate enough revenue to even function as a county. And I'm not saying that we don't, you know, that's how the world works a little bit.
Because people live there too.
Right.
You know, they,
you don't not support them.
Right.
But my attitude is, well, don't give us a recipe for failure. You know, I understand the General Assembly gets mad. They're like, I'm tired of hearing about Indianapolis. I'm tired of hearing about Indianapolis. Well, this is the economic engine of the city, of the state.
Right.
We, to your point earlier, we generate the most revenue. And I'm more than happy to say, if you don't like the city, that's fine. Just let us keep our tax money and we'll be quite fine on our own.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you,
being
God.
On. I mean, that was great. By the way, this is WBDGFM HD1 Indianapolis. Counselor, if you ever have anything that you want to bring up with us, please just let me know or call us. Come in, you know, Emerson, you say, come bum rush the window.
Yeah. He said Counselor Marilyn Feaster used to do that.
She would. Counselor Feaster would. So absolutely. So if you have anything for us, just let us know.
Absolutely.
Or for BDTV or anything.
Absolutely. Sure. I appreciate you. I appreciate you guys giving us this ability to communicate this stuff. I think this is exciting things for the community. It's going to be a headache when it starts because, you know, the road construction and traffic. But I think long term, it's going to be great for the community.
Well, thanks again for being on the show. And that's going to wrap up this week's Voices of the West Side.
To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and their communities. What you give out is what you're going to be given back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat, just copy the right cat. Don't get caught with the wrong crowd. And as always, the views expressed on Voices of the West Side are not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, or WBDG. From all of us here at Voices of the West Side, we'll see you on down the road. Make sure to join us next time. I'm John Easter, over and out. Have a great weekend. This is Indy's Giant 90.9, WBDG-FM HD1, Indianapolis.